Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
That was Kent Carman and Anthony Lima yesterday. Today, it is Spencer German and Garrett Bush holding down the fort. G. Bush, what's going on this morning, man? How are you?
There we go. What's up, man?
Turning the mic on would help, yeah.
Yeah, man. You know,
is the button not working over there?
Yeah, I was like, hold on to me.
I'm phasing the button out.
You didn't phase my
like
vocals
Podesta,
out.
Huh?
Yeah, they didn't phase me all the way out, man. Pretty soon, they're going to be phased out. The buttons don't work. Get this dude out of here.
Saturday morning, you're going to show up. It just doesn't work. G. Bush getting phased out of 92 through the fan.
I go right back to the crib. Oh, I ain't on the schedule today. Oh.
Well, that's sounds like that's what's going to be happening to Paul DiPodesta. He's going to be going right back to the crib in San Diego there.
Man.
Do you think Paul DiPodesta is getting phased out of the organization?
So this has always been the wildest thing in the world to me. Like, first and foremost, the reason people are vague about certain things is because they're vague for a specific reason. So if something goes wrong, there's plausible deniability. Like, they're like, what are you guys talking about? Paul DiPodesta never was picking players. What are you talking about? Paul DiPodesta never was involved in play calling or any of that. Like, how would you know if he's being phased out if we still today do not know what his job title is?
That's a good question. I mean,
we know his job title. He's chief strategy officer. Garrett, come on.
And when you ask,
there
and
are
you,
strategies. And he's the chief of them.
That means the head of strategies. And you'd be like, well, is that drafting strategy? I don't know. Is that strategy on like how many runs and passes you're going to throw? I don't know about that. It's just strategy.
He's the chief strategy officer and a thought partner. Those are...
Thought partner.
He's part of the conversation, apparently, with all these powers that be that get their heads together to make these decisions. What? Yeah, I The Paul DiPodesta thing's always been a mystery. To your point, G. Bush, and I think that's a very good question. Like, how can we really know if he's getting phased out if we don't even know what he does? From all accounts, it sounds like after John Dorsey botched the Freddie Kitchens hire, it sounds like he oversaw the hiring of Kevin Stefanski, because we know from the Freddie Kitchens hire, he was already high on Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
So, So to this point, the one thing we feel like we can say certainly is that he, or with certainty, is that he helped pick Kevin Stefanski as the head coach.
So I'll go Game of Thrones on you guys, right? So let's go Game of Thrones. Obviously, DiPodesta is the hand of the king, right? Like, he's the...
I like this.
He's the hand of the king.
Hopefully this ends better than the actual show ended.
And he has a bunch of little spies as hand of the king that go around and whisper and talk and sow discord and do things amongst the organization to figure out who is the real problem if something goes wrong, right? So now something went wrong. Let's say in terms of Game of Thrones, you guys let the rest of these people in the AFC North get dragons. They now have dragons. You have no dragons. You're sitting around here.
Dragons are quarterbacks, we'll say, maybe.
And you have, listen, you have a bunch of money like the Lannisters, right? You know, you might even have more money like the Tyrells. But guess what? That don't matter. You ain't got no ball players. You have no dragons. Other teams don't have as much money as you. They don't waste as much money as you do. But you got to find out who's going to find a way to fight these dragons amongst all these other places when you don't have a good solid roster. For me, the hand of the king is a fluid position. And sometimes it does not even have to be explicitly said. It could be like, well, this is one of my buddies that tells me things and I listen to him. It doesn't need have to be a guy who has a specific pedigree. It's just whoever has Jimmy Haslam's ear at the time. And so it seems like, hey, look, maybe Paul DePodesta might not have a Jimmy Haslam's ear right now, but there's always somebody jousting for that position. Somebody's doing it right now.
Yeah, I guess the question that comes out of that then is like, so who actually is on the chopping block? Like, because you mentioned like the hand of the king metaphor. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes the hand of the king, he weasels his way into the good graces to stick around longer with the king, right? Like,
yes.
He's not usually the person who's getting sort of thrown out of the building here. And so that leads us to then the conversation about like, if you're getting rid of anybody, who is it? Should it be Paul, or is it going to be Kevin Stefanski, or who apparently the hand of the king picked, or is it going to be Andrew Berry, who sat there the other day and told us that everybody had a hand in this thing? And I'm gonna be honest, like, I think the question I keep going back to with Andrew Berry G is like, who had the most say in the Deshaun Watson situation? If he was the main source of trying to pursue him and it didn't work out, I think we're going to find out, because I do think he'll be the one that gets that has to bite the bullet here and ends up on the chopping block, because they're not going to tolerate that. They're going to be like, you had your chance to pick the quarterback. This was your decision. But he sat there on Wednesday and told us that everybody was on board with it.
Can I provide a counter to Garrett's
sure
thing? Going back to the chief strategy officer, you brought up, he's the guy that wanted Stefanski, and they got Stefanski in, and we think guys are on the chopping block when it comes to specifically Berry and Stefanski, and even more Berry than Stefanski, right? Like,
yeah.
Berry's candidate number one amongst fans, I think, right now, to be the guy that's removed. But what if the strategy paid off and the Haslams know they have their coach and they have their GM? They're not worried about it. So now they need DePodesta to focus on a new strategy. We don't know what the strategies are.
Right.
His strategy right now... What's the biggest thing coming up for the Haslams and the Browns?
Stadium.
The stadium, right? And that's what Lima was alluding to in that open. And he threw me off yesterday. He definitely threw Ken off. There's a video of it. You can go watch Ken's face, be dumbfounded by it.
92thefan.com.
Yeah.
92thefan on Twitter.
He starts off dumbfounded, and then he's kind of like, what do you know?
It's like the Alonzo Mourning gif where he's like...
Right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And then he's just shaking his head.
Knowing Anthony as well as I've gotten to know him over a decade, and Garrett, you've known him for longer than that.
Yeah.
He doesn't just make things up. There's always a bread trail.
Yeah.
Or
well,
something.
So what's interesting about that, and obviously the clip that you played in the intro there, like Ken, I think is onto something where he says, you know, why are you putting this guy in charge of like the business operations if he was brought here to be like a player development guy. Like that was when you watch the movie Moneyball, he wasn't brought in to help the A's figure out what they're going to do with their future stadium that they still obviously can't get built. He was brought in to evaluate the talent that was going to help them win and dive into the numbers and all those things. And I mean, like, listen, like Lima throwing that out there, I do think where there's smoke, there's fire there with Lima, as you alluded to, Owen. Like, he doesn't just put stuff out there to put stuff out there. But I just find it interesting that, like, so, I mean, I guess that would be the way you reduce him is just like, yeah, we're going to pivot him to something else. But it's just weird to me that the guy who is dubbed the chief strategy officer and apparently has this great mind for evaluating players that are going to help you win, even if it was in baseball first. I don't know. Maybe that's like the soft landing. Like maybe that's how you do that. Is like instead of just like run him out of town completely, you keep him still part of the organization, but he's just focusing on that now.
I gotta have a different feel for what he is to Jimmy Haslam. Now since we're talking about shows, I think Dee Podesta is a fixer. He's a guy who, if you look at House of Cards, Frank Underwood had his chief of staff doing everything. He was hushing people up.
He did a lot of things.
He was raising money.
Sometimes Frank took care of it himself.
Yeah, right. So, like, you got to think about it. To me, I always remember like this. When you're a billionaire, you are in a specific walled-off, siloed position.
Yeah.
You very rarely let anybody inside your circle. LeBron has them. I would believe people that are popular like Joe Rogan has them. Like guys that have been around him that they're comfortable with that can tell Jimmy certain things that other people can't. So for me, Dee Podesta has always been a guy who is more of a fixer where I can come in and step in areas that Jimmy does not have confidence in people or relationships that it keeps him from overstepping boundaries. Jimmy can overdo it. Sometimes,
yeah, that's been his biggest problem as the owner of this team over the last decade plus has been, you know, meddling a little bit too much at times.
And,
yeah,
and so political discord and the political jousting that you need to do to finesse certain things. Sometimes when you're the king, you don't have that. That's why you put a buffer in between them, right? You put a buffer between you and the people. So he tells Jimmy, "Hey, listen. I think you might have the coach and the general manager. Here's your problem. You now have a PR problem." Because you're going to have to acknowledge that you swung and missed on two quarterbacks. And one of them happens to be flourishing somewhere else. So we're going to have to figure out from a standpoint how we move this along and still get you what you want, which is your stadium and the goodwill of the fans back on your side.
Yeah, and this is, again, this all ties back to what I brought up, G, which is like, If you're trying to figure out where they're going to assess blame or where they're going to put blame when this season comes to an end, maybe it does end up being Dee Podesta and he ends up being just sort of moved to a different phase of the organization, to Owen's point where he's Lima's point, like overseeing the stadium stuff. And maybe that is like the realization that when they brought him here, they wanted him to have a hand in those things. Because you bring up the quarterback situation. Back then, when they drafted Baker, that was a Dorsey pick. Like, mm-hmm. They let Dorsey have... So maybe the idea here was Dorsey had the reins. He lost it when he hired Freddie Kitchens, and that he lost credibility. So then they pivoted to Dee Podesta having more of the power. He did what he was asked to do, in a sense, by bringing in the head coach and GM that have gotten the organization to a point of at least stability and playoff appearances and all these different things. And maybe they gave him a little bit too much control in terms of roster construction and dictating play callers and different things like that, or, you know, bringing in new offensive coordinators. And now they're realizing, and if he had a big say in the Deshaun Watson situation, maybe now they're realizing, okay, yeah, we got to get back to letting the football people do the football stuff. And Paul, we're going to move you over to a different part of the organization. And that's, again, I think how this all plays out is what's going to be fascinating about this at the end of the season. Like, who ends up on the chopping block, whether it's Barry, whether it's Dee Podesta getting reassigned, whether it's Stefanski. I think that's going to tell us a lot about who had the most say or was most prominent in trying to make the Deshaun Watson deal. Because another thing that I know Ken and Lima have also talked about on this very show is the fact that Jimmy and Dee Haslam loved Baker Mayfield. So somebody, I think, even if they were on board with it, somebody probably had to like pitch it to him first and sell them on the idea of like, hey, we're moving on from this guy that we know you absolutely adore. So Again, I think we're going to find that stuff out. And if it's Paul DePodesta getting reassigned, I think that might be an indicator of how much pull he actually had in that decision.
I think Paul DePodesta is a rich guy's friend who never is on the outs.
And that's why he'll still be around. They don't want to just cut bait completely.
Yeah,
right. They're not just going to like throw him to the wolves and be like, get out of here, you're fired. But based on the comments that he made back at the beginning of training camp, back when the extensions were signed, where it was like, yeah, we're working through some things with Paul. I agree with you. Like, he's not going anywhere. He's still going to be a close confidant of them. It's just about like maybe what he's doing from here on out. And maybe they realized he can't do the football stuff anymore.
The key question is this. I this is fascinating to me because it's you're now back to your jousting and that thing where it's front office versus head coach. And they've always tried to sell you that they are in lockstep, that they are one entity. They have one likeness, one mind, and they are doing what is best to win football games for the Browns. Get up out of here with that. That ain't it. That is not it. Well, we're going to talk about what the heck they did. They're going to battle. It's going to be a battle, Spencer.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app